Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than their worth in real cash value. Ramp's business cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp's software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. Ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
We had a game against Salt Lake. Don't remember what year. After 1 minute, Begeman went after Roger, and he got him bad.
Yeah.
Nasty.
Classic matchup.
I got a nasty one after 1 minute. And Roger went up to Kyle Begeman and told him, and I heard it, if you have more than one touch on the ball the rest of this game here, I'm going to end your career. For 89th minute plus overtime, Kyle Begeman played with one touch.
Nice.
Anything to shake this, but I'm in. But
back at it again with another Shade of Blue. We are the Blue Testament. My name is Cody Bradley. Thad Bell and Robert Russert are here as always. That absolute banger of a song you're hearing is called My Football Team's Got Me Drinking by the Vanden Arms. So we've got a big win for the show tonight. Even if he's doing it while operating a motor vehicle, still a big win for Shades of Blue. He is notorious around MLS if your team was playing him, but a true fan favorite here. And I'm going to say it, one of the best players to ever wear the jersey here in Kansas City. He's now coming back to SKC, this time as part of the technical staff. Benny Fellhaber, welcome.
Dude, that is a hell of an introduction. I appreciate it. There have been some greats in the Sporting KC jersey, so I don't know if you were exaggerating maybe a little bit, but I am very appreciative of that introduction.
One of the most talented players, at least, to ever wear the jersey.
Okay, I'll take it.
Yeah, don't take it back, Cody.
Definitely, absolutely not. One of my all-time faves, just because of the personality. And Peter Vermees once said, "You have the loudest mouth in the league." That is another reason you were one of my favorites.
Yeah, that might not be an exaggeration, though.
Yeah.
No, that's pretty accurate.
All right, so I know you've touched on this before in your initial press conference, but just for our listeners here, What exactly are you expecting your role to be here on the technical staff? Like, what do you see your day to day is going to be like?
Yeah, I mean, it's starting to take a little bit more of shape in terms of, you know, what it's going to look like. We haven't started training yet, so the coaching aspect of it hasn't gotten into full gear yet. We haven't been going out to trainings and seeing the guys on a daily basis, so that's still to be determined. But I mean, I see my day going very similar to that of an assistant coach. I'm going to be involved in, you know, the planning of the trainings, the weekly training sessions, the getting prepared for, you know, the teams that we're playing against, scouting the opposing team, preparing our team for however we are going to set up against that team. And then obviously being in the room with Peter, Carey, and Z and figuring out, you know, what we need to improve on, what's working well, you know, all those kind of things. And so that for me is huge because, you know, I definitely have a goal at some time in the future to be a head coach and nowhere better to be than to learn from Peter and that staff. And so in that sense, I'm very excited. Peter's also going to involve me in the business aspect in terms of like the GM work that he does. You know, I'll be involved with Brian Bliss constantly, Megan Cameron,
nice.
Josh Duffy, who's in charge of, you know, a lot of the things that go on in the academy. And so it really is this kind of holistic approach of what goes on in the first team and tie that in with what's going on in the academy and the B team, to kind of be that, I think that second pair of eyes for Peter, for me to kind of relay the information, cause I'll be there, you know, maybe once, twice a week to kind of, I think involve myself with the players there, let them know that, look, there is a connection there from the first team and second team. And one thing that's changed over the last 4 years after we moved to the new facility is those guys don't see us as much as anymore, you know? And so it was a positive thing for them to be able to see and relate to the first team to some degree and kind of have that ambition to get there. But now since we're in different locations, it's good to kind of reconnect. And I think I'll be a guy that can help out being there, seeing the guys, they can get to know me. They know that there's people from the first team actively watching them and they can ask questions and feel connected to the first team. And conversely, I can kind of help Peter with, you know, giving him information with players, how I think they're progressing, what needs to improve, what is going well, and all those kind of things, because Peter's a very, you know, holistic person in terms of wanting to know how every aspect of the organization and club are working or functioning.
Benny, you sound like you're going to be busy.
Yeah. But one thing that Peter will tell you this, but I wholeheartedly agree and always have, you're not busy if you love what you're doing. Busy sounds right. Like a negative word. Where man, I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to do that. And I feel like I'm going to be productive and that's a better word for it. But man, I mean, this is, I was talking to the guys today. I'm like, this is just me, you know, when I was a player, so many things, I wondered how things worked and how, you know, behind the curtain, so to speak. And so now I'm getting a real glimpse at, you know, removing the curtain and seeing the Wizard of Oz back there, so to speak, of how everything works. And so it's fascinating to me and I'm really excited about it.
So maybe engrossed is a good word, but all right. Yeah, I need to get used to calling you coach instead of Benny, I guess. But so, okay. First day of training, let's say, do you go up to Graham Zuzzi, put your arm around him and say, Graham, I know you've been doing it this way for a while, but how about this way? I mean, how are you going to approach being the coach for former teammates? I know you've talked about that a little bit, but are you an arm around the shoulder kind of guy or what's it going to be?
I mean, I think I'm a little bit of both. I think the beautiful thing about what I'm going to be able to do is I have a different connection with a lot of these players and maybe even the guys that I don't necessarily know that well than Peter, Carey, and Z. I mean, they've been coaches for so long, whereas I was a teammate of these guys less than, you know, a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
And so the ability to kind of talk to them honestly and yes, be in their corner, but also relate the ideas from the coaches to them and let them know that, look, my job is to improve the team. not to, you know, in any way come at a player and have them, you know, not be utilized in the right way and not get the best of them. I mean, it's literally what's best for the guy, what's best for the team. And my goal is to be able to use my relationships with those players, since I'm so, you know, not long removed from that environment, to be able to have them, you know, connected from the coaching staff to the players. And I think that's something that I can definitely do at a high level and be able to influence the team to perform at just, you know, a more efficient way.
Awesome. Hey, awesome. Thank you.
Hey, Benny, one of the things that the fans and the media always loved about you is you were very honest and sometimes a little bit outspoken about certain things. Is that something you're worried about, that you're going to have to like kind of pull back a little bit now? And, you know, is it, so, you know, maybe something Peter's talked to you about, or is that just something he doesn't even notice?
No, I think within the organization, so within our circle, our circle of trust, so to speak, right? I think that'll be a benefit to me, you know, be able to speak to Peter and the staff, you know, Bliss, and the players. I think the ability of me to be honest and people know that about me, I think that's going to be a positive, because it people aren't going to think, oh man, what, you know, what's his ulterior motive here? What is he trying to get at? And that's sometimes how players think. It's like, why is the coach saying this to me? Or, you know, is there a reason for that? Or what's he trying to get out of it, and whatever. And I think most guys know, for sure, the guys that have been around me know that, look, I'm a no filter kind of guy. I'm going to tell you what I think, and let's have an honest conversation. If you disagree, let's talk it out and figure out what's best. And I think that'll benefit me for sure. I think the one situation where I'll have to pull back a little bit is more that public side, right? And I think as a player, you know, I tended to say, you know, what I thought. And I think as a coach, you gotta always protect the club, the organization. And there are certain things that you don't want to share with the outside world, whether it be, you know, media, whether it be, you know, friends or colleagues that you've known along the course of your career that maybe worked for other teams in the league or whatnot. And those kind of things will be things that I have to actively think about and not divulge too much information. Definitely not any information that I don't want other people to know about our organization, because it could potentially affect us in a competitive way. And so those kind of things I think I'll have to, you know, be a little bit smarter with. But in terms of my honesty with the guys within the club, I think that'll be a huge positive.
Well, we're going to go ahead and test you on that right away here. I do remember you speaking about, you know, the CBA discussions and things like that in the past. And that's obviously at the forefront of news around MLS right now. So I was very curious to hear your perspective on, you know, a potential lockout and everything going on with the league and the players union.
I mean, I would be very disappointed, because I'm so excited about this season, the team that we have. My goal in terms of immersing myself into it and learning and being in a normal, you know, season long environment. So I would be very disappointed if for some reason either the season doesn't go, or it's shortened, or it's locked out, or whatever. But I mean, obviously I understand how, you know, how it works. I've been part of that process as a player. It's hard work. It's time consuming. And sometimes, you know, you feel like sometimes you reach an impasse. I'm hoping that's not the case now, but, you know, we'll have to wait. I know that there was a deadline sometime this week. But we'll see what happens. I mean, in terms of what I do from day to day doesn't change until, you know, we have more information. But I mean, if you're asking me personally, I really hope that it gets worked out one way or another, where it makes sense for both sides. And I think that's happened in the past, and hopefully the players and the owners can find a way to get this done.
I think you are finding a good way to balance out giving a good political answers, Benny. Good job.
I mean, that's political and honest. But yeah, I think I accept your what's the word I'm looking for?
It was a compliment. It was a compliment.
Your compliment, I guess. Your compliment. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Your compliment.
All right. Well, we won't test you too much on that. Well, we're not a very serious show here. We like to be the exact opposite of serious and make fun of shows that are serious. So how about, what is the most pissed off you ever saw Peter Vermees?
Pissed off. Good one.
I'll tell you,
I don't think he was pissed off on this one. I was actually not on the team. I don't think he was pissed off, but it was almost like he was so surprised. And that was when they were playing the second game of the year against Vancouver in 2020. That's exactly what I was thinking about. And when he could not believe, I mean, I'm not going to say the word that, you know, somebody told him apparently on the Vancouver bench. And the funny thing is Mark DeSantos is the coach. So I know it wasn't him, but I think it was one of the assistant coaches, but it's just funny. They've worked together. I knew Mark from LAFC and I was like, oh my God, who just said what Peter is saying that, you know, they called him and Peter was just, oh, it was unbelievable. I mean, obviously people made a meme of it and whatnot, or a gif, and it was hilarious, but I'm sure he was pissed off, but it was almost like so much surprise that he couldn't really be too angry.
Yeah, one of the best gifts the league has ever produced, without a doubt.
For sure.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right, Benny. So, I'm going to go back to high school for me here. And I was impressed and somewhat surprised to see that Don Ebert was a coach of yours. I'm a St. Louis and he played indoor soccer there. But anyway, speaking of coaching, you know, the whole coach thing, my high school coach, he was a baseball coach. He wasn't a soccer coach. He hated the football guys though. And his catchphrase was, every time of practice, he said this at least once, if you can't handle it out here, go be a pussy and put on the pads. So that was his coaching catchphrase. Two-part question. One, what are some catching coach phrase that Vermees or Bob Bradley had, and what do you think yours might be? What's going to be your coaching catchphrase?
Oh, that's a really hard question. You should have given me this question before I came on the air. I'm not going to be able to come up with this top of my head.
You don't have any Bennyisms that are your go-to?
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I probably do, but you know, like when you say it, you don't realize, and other people would say, like, yeah, you say that all the time.
Right.
I'm not exactly sure, but Bob, I remember, would always say that it's about the work, you know?
Uh-huh. It's about the work. That sounds very Bob Bradley.
And the other one that he says is, can we raise the bar? You know? And so that's definitely one for Bob. Peter, man, I don't know if Peter has one that I can really, you know, go back to.
I think it's fuck off. I think that's Peter's catchphrase.
I mean, Peter doesn't. It's funny, like towards the players, he wouldn't talk like that very often. I mean, but yeah, he. I don't know about Peter. I'll have to get back to you on that one. And then for me, oh man, I don't know. I think I would say that. I don't know if I have a catchphrase, but I'll always stick to the more, you know, tactical side of the game as opposed to the brouhaha, you know? And so I'll never be a guy that's go, you know, let's fucking go. Like, that's not me. I'm not going to coach like that. Get them, you know, pumped up and that kind of thing. So I'm always the guy that will come off to the guy in the corner and be like, hey, by the way, this is one thing that I noticed, maybe try and utilize that or something like that. But catchphrases, you're going to have to ask me in like 2-3 years from now. And I'll let you know if I developed one or not, because I can't come up with it on the top of my head.
Deal.
We'll definitely catch you somewhere by the end of the year to see if you have one, though.
fair. That's fair enough.
All right. Because I think Peter actually changes his every year, at least for the media, because he says things like, every roll of the ball was won for a long time. Oh, yeah. At the end of the day, we do this. But it changes like every year.
That's a good Peter one, at the end of the day.
Yeah, yeah, so, I've heard that one from Peter before.
All right, following up on these questions, because I've wanted to ask this before, but you can probably be a little more honest with me now. What's the stupidest question somebody in the media has ever asked you? And part two is, did I ask it?
Well, part two, there's no way I will remember whoever asked any stupid questions.
Good for Thad to know that.
Because he just doesn't care that much.
Well, I won't say it's the stupidest question I've ever been asked, but it was the question that was actually super innocent that led to, I think, maybe the biggest rivalry with Salt Lake, which was, I got asked, what was the question? It had to do, so if you guys remember that.
I already know where you're going, of course.
Thad, I don't know if you were there or who was there during that week, but I got a press conference the week of, do you remember what team we were playing that week?
RSL.
Anybody? No, we were not playing RSL. Oh. That's the funny thing.
Oh,
we're playing ourselves.
Nice.
No, I'm sure I was there though.
So the question was something like, you know, what are your biggest rivalries in the league, and where would you put, you know, what's the biggest rivalry you have, or whatever?
Oh, it was probably Chicago or Houston.
Houston. We were playing the Houston Dynamo that week, and I didn't even think about, oh yeah, they're asking a question about the Houston Dynamo. Like, I didn't even think about that. And obviously, I mean, so one thing from my perspective is I wasn't here for 11 or 12. And so, you know,
right,
that probably, you know, kind of went over my head for during that moment.
Right.
And obviously we beat them in 13, but for me, I mean, Salt Lake was always the game that we really, you know, we wanted to beat them. They wanted to beat us. It got like, you know, physical and that kind of thing. And so it was right away. I said it without even like stuttering. I was like, yeah, Salt Lake's the biggest rival we got. And everybody was hoping that I'd talk about Houston, because that's who we were playing against. So it was kind of, I wouldn't say it was a stupid question or even a stupid answer, but it kind of just like went in a stupid way where nobody was expecting it, you know? And so that was funny. And
everybody in the media is looking,
you
know, at each other like,
whatever you want to
call
say
that.
But see, that's exactly why we loved you, Benny.
Like, what's that?
That's exactly why we loved you. Is you didn't care with the question we asked. It was, you just gave us the right answer.
Yeah, exactly. One thing that I have to learn from that.
And that was very rare. That's very rare among Sporting KC players, who are all very well media trained. Matt Beisler, the robot, just gives like the most political great answer every time. So that was why you stood out so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the time that I've been doing this stuff, you were in the top two. I'm not going to say number one or number two, top two most honest answering people consistently. I mean, every once in a while, some players would be very open, but a lot of times they wouldn't be as open. But it was you and Jimmy Nielsen.
Oh, really? Yeah. Jimmy's a good one, though, because somehow he always makes an answer sound good, though, too.
Yeah.
He'll be honest, but it's always like, oh yeah, that's great. Like, we love Jimmy. It was always a good answer.
Both friends of the show. Jimmy has been on a couple times. We got the two sporting legends, friends of the show.
Yeah. Jimmy's the man.
I do have to say, going back to Bob Bradley, he's the only guy I've ever pissed off in an interview. So yeah, he's pretty straightforward, I think, too.
He looks like he'd be easy to piss off too. Short rope for him.
Yeah, I've pissed off a few players, but, and probably pissed off PV a couple times too.
So Benny, forgive me here. I've got
be careful what you guys ask then.
Yeah. I've got a kind of a long-winded question here. A lot of the times when players leave the game, they either choose the route of you know, a broadcaster or coaching. And you're kind of towing the line in between with both there as a member of the technical staff. And you've, of course, got the SBI podcast, which I think is fantastic. And the best part of that show for me is the, like we've been talking here about honest and open, the players you have on give you these answers as if you are just speaking to them, you know, not on the air, not doing a podcast, when essentially it is the same as if they were, you know, answering a question post game to the newspaper beat reporter or on a local radio show. So I'm interested in you know, what you think the difference is, or how you're able to get some of this stuff out from these players. Is it just that they trust you, that they'll, that you'll cut something that might get them in trouble? Or, you know, it's, I just, that's what I'm going for in an interview, is to get that much openness from the person I'm interviewing. And so I respect that a lot. And that's my favorite part of the show. So I was curious as to, as your thoughts on all of that.
I would say that it has to do more than just that, but we do give that option to everybody. At the end of every show, we're like, hey, is there anything that we went over that you don't want to be out there? And so they do know that before and after. We remind them that, look, anything that you want out, we get out. So obviously that's one thing, but I don't think that, I mean, I think it makes a huge difference who's interviewing them. And regardless, you know, regardless of everybody else gets to listen to it the same way, whether it's my podcast, your podcast, or, you know, whoever's podcast. I do think it just makes a difference. And the fact that we have all shared the field at one point, you know, whether we played on the same team or against each other, or maybe not even against each other, but, you know, we've both been through whatever it is that, you know, professional athletes go through. I think there's just a sense of respect there, and it benefits me and Ike and Sal to be able to ask those questions and get honest responses. And I think that, it's kind of similar to something that I hope I can take into, you know, the coaching profession and utilize that. Look, there's a sense of respect. I was a player a year and a half ago. How can we get the best out of you? And what I'm saying is being honest, and I want honesty back from the player. And I think that's one thing that I hope to utilize as a coach, to get the best out of the players that I'm coaching. And so, unfortunately for you guys, I don't think you're going to be able to get the same honesty out of professional athletes as me, Ike, and Sal were able to. I'm sorry to,
of course,
give you that information.
I thought we just did, Benny. I thought we just did.
Yeah, that felt real. All right. So we got about one more question and we'll let you get out of here.
It's an easy one.
A very easy one. I know you're a big, I've heard you talk in sports, and every post games, there were always you know, an NBA game or something on the TV there in the locker room. So I got to ask you here, and you also, you spent some time in New England. So just got to make sure, I'm going to give you a softball one here. Brady or Mahomes?
Mahomes.
Real tough answer there.
All right,
dude. I'll just follow up by saying the Chiefs are head and shoulders better team than the Bucks. I'd be shocked if they don't win, but you never know. Brady is still the quote unquote GOAT because he's obviously won as many times as he has. I honestly don't think Brady at any point in his career was as good as Mahomes is right now. As much as he's won, he knows how to win. He's been on good teams.
Yep.
But I mean, Mahomes has all the, I think it's similar to, it really is similar to a Jordan LeBron debate, but we'll see. I mean, I think Mahomes will win this one, and I'm sure he'll win some more down the line, but it's a good question. Although I think I would just take Mahomes at any point in time, really.
Yeah. The man knows how to please Kansas City fans.
Hey, don't forget, I'm a Ravens fan. So had it been,
that's true,
you know, had it been the AFC Championship game that I was hoping for, I wouldn't have been pro Chiefs, but I've adopted the Chiefs as my second team. So if the Ravens are out, then let's go Chiefs.
Good. Yeah. On that note, I sent some messages to get some intel on you for good questions to ask. So we've got a lot more we can ask you. So we hope to have you back on again soon, but we thank you very much for joining, and yeah, good luck this season, man.
Thanks guys. I appreciate you having me on, and let me know when I can come back on.
All right, cool. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Coach.
All right,
thanks,
Benny.
Thanks, man.
See you guys.
Bye. All right. So we're going to get him next week, right? That's what we're going to do.
Maybe we should let him coach a practice first.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, I guess so. If the practices ever happen, I guess the practices will happen. It's if the games actually start.
Tomorrow's the deadline, right?
Is that what it is? Yeah, I meant to look that up whenever he mentioned it.
They extended it a day. I think it was supposed to be tomorrow, but they said they extended it 24 hours.
Oh, really?
Okay. MLS just came out with an announcement, but I was never sure if it was tonight at midnight or tomorrow at midnight or what. So they said they made some progress. They extended it 24 hours.
Oh, okay.
I didn't read the email in detail because I was rushing to do other stuff.
We think that's going to get settled, right? They're going to figure this out. There's not going to be a lockout.
Yes. If there's a lockout, I don't think it'll be long, but I think MLS is getting tore up in, by the fans, media,
the court of public opinion.
Yeah. So, it's one of those, like, I can understand the desire to minimize some risk over time and all that shit, but they just went about it in a terrible, terrible, terrible way. And they've lost every ounce of goodwill at that point. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, tomorrow night, midnight is the deadline.
In my opinion, yes, there will be games, there will be practices. And even if there is a lockout, I don't think it'll be super long, because I'm guessing I forget the exact start time for the season, but we still got a couple weeks before, training camp's officially open too. So,
all right, Thad, well done on locking down the Benny, taking a shot. The shooter's got to shoot, right? He took a shot. We got Benny on the pod. So well done on that, man. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Blue Testament KC, and join us at thebluetestament.com and leave us a comment. And we'll talk to you soon. Good sporting.
Has just been sent off. Support of strong evolved on sulfide football tanks. Got me drinking. My football tanks got me drinking. My football tanks got me drinking. Give me beer or whiskey, wine or gin. Anything to shake this mood.